This is going to be great. All right, I'm stopping the recording now. 1, 2, 3. Allow me to reintroduce myself. Allow me to reintroduce myself. Hey, we are backcasting on this channel. It's me, Luke Stickles. I have completely rebranded in our time off, and the lever is now called Shameless Animals. And Shameless Animals to me is just what we really are when we're trying to be a lot smarter. We're just a little bit more basic than we strive to be. We're animals in clothes. And it has a matching YouTube channel called Shameless Animals. And what we've got coming up in this new episode is a fantastic discussion with artist and lecturer Dr. Darren Fisher, and he's a fantastic friend and a very talented person who really has a lot to offer people who want to relax, want to grow their skill, want to enjoy their slow part of their living, and, you know, the role that drawing can play in everyday folks' lives. So that's coming up with Darren. What we've got on the podcast, audio only, is a half-hour chat with Darren, and then there's another hour on YouTube that's just, you know, you chuck it in the background, have it on while you do something else, or go in deep if you are a drawer, if you are a creator, or if you're just interested in finding out how to maybe tap into a more creative self. There's another hour of actually breaking down some of his drawings and his art and his practice and what he does. So I really recommend have a listen to this half hour, and then if you like it, jump over to the YouTube, and it's the same first half hour, and we count it down, 3, 2, 1, go, and we start looking at Darren's art, which is really fantastic. There's so much work on there of his too, spliced in, so you'll get a little look at that. And yeah, I think as usual for what used to be the lever, Shameless Animals is going to be, we're really looking at like the conundrums of life, the conundrums that we face together, trying to, you know, make our way and feel good about how things are going when, you know, there's a lot of complicated stuff going on. And as usual, we don't need some big expert to tell us. It's really human to human, animal to animal. How are we just going to get along together and make things work and try and live our lives with meaning and purpose? So that is still a through line from what used to be the lever. Now, Shameless Animals, thanks for staying with us, and I hope you enjoy this first episode. Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. Hey everyone, and welcome to Shameless Animals. This is the visual episode, the drawing episode. I'm very lucky to have an amazing, talented friend, Dr. Darren Fisher, who's, I think you tell us where you are. Maybe you're in Vienna right now, and we have hooked up our little chat here. I'm going to go over some video of you drawing and doing different things and just talking about what's going on there. And I think that'll be really worth a listen for people who are either interested in drawing or just interested in the arts in general or any kind of creative production, or just want to see other people at work and what are they thinking while they do what they do. And I just think, the audience will get so much from listening to you, Daz. So thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
Oh, man, you're so good at that. I can't do this, Luke. I'm sorry. We have to cancel.
Is that it? We're done. That was good. That was good.
No, that was a lovely intro. And yeah, I'm great. I'm really good. Thank you, Luke. And thanks for having me on Shameless Animals. I love the name of your podcast.
Thank you. It's the rebrand. So, Darren, thanks for joining me and being up for talking about your drawing. Is there anything you'd like our audience to know about you before we get going and talk about what you've come up with?
Well, there's a few things. I suppose I'm currently, I'm an Australian, but I live in Vienna in Austria, and relocated here last year, the year before. And I've just been drawing my whole life. I love making comics, and I did a doctorate in autobiographical comics, actually. So yeah, I make comics for sort of explaining, sort of different, for example, communication psychology or things about like lived experience of living with a disability. And more recently, I've gotten into graphic recording, which is this really cool way of going into meetings or conferences and just sort of capturing what people are talking about, using images and text and stuff, and trying to distill the main beats of a discussion into something that people can just like get quickly and understand and remember. So
I think you've sent me some notes of like visual recording of the minutes.
Oh yeah,
which is like so fascinating to read.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because everyone kind of finds themselves doodling in those meetings anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the idea is that actually, like before we thought that was a waste of time, but yeah, actually, you kind of, I think you can waste time doing that, but I think it can also sort of keep you a bit more present and engaged. Mm. And if you're using that doodling to like take notes and also draw pictures that are sort of related to the what you're talking about, then yeah, that's a really good way to cement that information in.
Mm.
Yeah,
I love about your work, and I think we met at a superheroes conference, didn't we, back in the day? And then literally a spa, which I love.
Mm.
The thing I love about your work, like since I've known you, I know way more, I think way more and wonder way and reflect way more on not only what's happening when we're drawing or when we're watching someone draw or looking at someone create something or looking at their work. So like the kind of the rich brain activity and then the social, like the brain / social stuff that's happening between us around drawing and images. So like the community element, but also like what are some of the, what role could drawing play to bring out in other situations that aren't about drawing? Like a meeting is not ostensibly about drawing, but with your technique, it sort of gets us to reflect on what else is the brain trying to do anyway when we are doing those like doodles. And what are our brain's preferences and what are we trying to make happen when so much of the world denies us like free playtime, like drawing, you know, like being an adult and being in the modern world denies that stuff. So I just find myself thinking and reflecting on that a lot more since I knew you because of your research areas and our conversations and stuff.
Oh, that's great. I mean,
feel free to correct me if I've completely misinterpreted your life's work.
No. Not at all. No, I feel like you wrapped it up quite well. I mean, I think it's good to preface this by saying, you know, I'm not a neuroscientist, not a psychologist or whatever, but like from my own experience, particularly with graphic recording, you know, that it's really hard. I sort of went into that thinking, you know, I've made comics my whole life. I've drawn. This should be not easy, but I should be able to slip in relatively quickly, but it's been a real learning curve because you really have to, like, you're listening to people talk live, so the idea is normally you do it live and you're creating this map of the discussion, but people are, you know, they say a lot of things and you gotta like just listen for the raw core nugget of like meaning and then just try and come up with the most apt image that just kind of like gets that across immediately, so it can't be too complicated. So like a lot of the times I look at graphic recordings and I think, you know, it looks quite simple and easy, but there's a lot of thinking that goes behind like taking all of this information and coming up with that most, you know, not maybe simple is not the right word, but like elegant or descriptive imagery. I'm not really sure like exactly what's going on behind the scenes. I know there's a lot of, you know, like there's this dual coding, which I think we've talked about before, where you're sort of like taking images and text and together the two things are stronger than either one alone. And for me, it's a good exercise because, you know, you've got, of course, like all of these therapeutic qualities of drawing where you're, like just on the surface of it, you're just sitting down, you know, you're taking some time to just like do something away from the screen. So these days I do a daily diary comic on paper instead of the screen. You get into these flow states. So you get really deeply absorbed in the work and it's refreshing. And like with autobiographical comics, I'm like thinking about the past and reflecting in these ways. So it's like, you take all of that, but then you're also trying to like figure out what these best images are to encapsulate a conversation. And it's actually like this weird mix of relaxation, but also a workout for the brain.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the end, I feel
as you're like, prioritizing and sorting stuff, information.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, trying to like just push to find like, okay, so here's the first thing that comes to my mind, but what can be like a little bit more sort of interesting or fun or or like you know, or like I guess elegant. In German, it's like einfach, like this simple sort of simplicity, I guess.
Yeah. What's the word?
Einfach. And I could be getting that wrong.
I love that. Yeah, yeah. I think Germans have said that to me before at pubs, and I've said, I'm pretty fucked as well. Might be time to have a big glass of water.
Yeah, yeah.
And what? So that's like means like the elegance of capturing the idea.
It's like simple. Yeah. It's like almost like easy in a way as like well.
Design simplicity or something.
Yeah. It's just like it should just, you know, you should just look at this image and just get it. You know, like the thinking has been done for you. It's like the the mother bird. I'm chewing up the information for my little babies.
Yeah.
And then just spitting it out into your mouth. And you're just like, oh, it's already ready to digest. So it's a strange analogy.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I don't know if we gained a couple of subscribers from that metaphor or lost a couple, but either way, I'm with it. I always note, like with your daily comics, you know, you have a great touch that make I know it's not exactly what you do, but it makes me think of like the old school, like newspaper cartoonists, you know, like it's that ability to say something important, say something current, something that's happening now, but to be sort of a step sideways, to be like there's finding humor in it or finding a unique perspective, or like sometimes humor is just surprise. And it's just, here's a surprising perspective on this matter that you didn't know someone was going to write about or capture this or even mention. But just that ability to play with meaning where things really do matter and yet have a kind of detached, ironic, playful, humorous take on it, just or surprising take, is just a fantastic tradition of like old school cartooning that we don't really have anymore because we don't have newspapers the same way. Like the way you capture your diary, like because it's a daily slice of life vibe, it's always got that ability. And there's always like I just also love the way that you're just writing about you and your life and your thoughts and capturing that moment, that little bird food moment. But because of the universal elements of art, everyone reading it can identify and say, yeah, can find the connection and put it through their own filter. So I just love that quality you have. Like it's a lightness and a deftness, but it's meaningful, you know.
That's real nice of you to say. Well, yeah, it's a funny one with these diary comics because I made them like sort of 10 years ago. I made them for a couple of years during my doctorate. And they never... I mean, they always had like a small core band of friends who would sort of like, because I put them online, a core of people that would sort of comment and like and stuff. But, you know, it was not like getting famous by a long, long stretch.
Mm.
But more recently, so I started again this year and I thought like, I don't want to just sort of say, you know, every day, it's not a literal diary. Like I didn't want to just say like, here's something that happened. So I'm always like, and also to entertain myself, I'm like looking for some variety, you know. So yeah, it's and I'm obvious. I'm sort of like aware that people are reading these, and I want them to enjoy it and for it to resonate. But yeah, sometimes I wonder if like the best way to connect with people and get like ultimately, you know, you like as an artist, like I don't really identify with that term, but like as someone who makes images and stuff and wants to get them out there and bases a career on that, you want them to spread and proliferate. And so like you've got to connect with people. And and I think like I haven't hit on the formula yet, but the less I'm finding thing that like the less I'm censoring myself and the more I'm just like thinking out loud about stuff that's going through my head. And often it's like stuff that triggers like something will happen in the day and I'll be thinking about
something upsetting.
Yeah. Or you know, like, why did this get more likes than the other thing? Or, you know, the other day we saw a butterfly in the middle of winter and we're like, oh, that's probably not good, you know, like it's just a sign of, like, you know, climate stuff. So every day, and then I just go, okay, I'm just gonna talk about something about this on the comics. And yeah, it's fun. It gives me this every day, like, okay, I've got to draw something, you know, on paper. And it's nice. Like, I get a lot of feedback now, like, and people are connecting, and then I go, okay, like, this, because sometimes, you know, like, you get a bit negative with social media and you go, like, what's the point? But I think, like, the more I use it, then sometimes I go, actually, it is nice. You know, people are out there, they're kind of, like, connecting and engaging and reaching out. And, yeah, so it's kind of cool. Yeah.
That's great. I think it's one of the best abilities that an artist of any medium has, which is, like, having faith in, like, going inside and internal to just concentrate on their stuff, their perspective, and having faith that it will communicate and connect. Like, there's no art without someone to watch it and to hear it and see it and witness it. You know, like, it's such a community binding thing, or agitating thing, but, like, the best, like, and I'm still trying to find this as a writer and creator, but the people who created a high level in my life, they are just fantastic at having faith that their personal thing that they want to do or say will have appeal and it will find an audience and connect out there. But if all you're doing is worrying about the connection, you're just not going to make something compelling, you know. So it's as in so many parts of our lives, like, the less we try or the less we think about it and preoccupy ourselves about it, the more it comes to us in a flow, in a kind of, you know, the more we can master things, the less we're consciously trying to think of it. Like, we do just need to, like, ease back and sort of do our practice without overthinking every step.
Yeah, and it's like 100% agree. Like, for me, that's true. You know, I've got to just sort of, I mean, that's why I did my doctorate in autobiographical comics, like, just to talk about, you know, this stuff. But it's also true that if you just want to, you know, reach a wide audience and stuff, there's, you know, it doesn't hurt to pander to, like, the current trends. And I remember, like, a guy in the Australian comic scene, like, years ago, just started doing, like, My Little Pony stuff. And he was all, you know, he was, like, sort of well known before that, but then he just exploded, you know. He was getting invited to all the conventions and he really became synonymous. And I don't know if he, like, maybe he loves My Little Ponies, but it seemed like, I mean, it's possible, but it seemed like if that was his strategy, you know, it really worked. But then, you know, like, I go, like, you know, what if I just pin all my horses on the next thing and start making, you know, art that I just hate, and then it doesn't take off anyway. So, you know, yeah, I don't even know.
Well, the worst thing would be if it does take off and then you're stuck with it.
Yeah, yeah,
having well, that's to true. Keep doing something that you already hated before you started it.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so it's like balancing, just kind of trying to make sure that, you know, like, I'm staying true to what, you know, what's inside, and keep myself entertained and enjoying it, but also going, okay, you know, people are going to look at this. I can't, you know, I can't just rant about, you know, like, I can't go full Robert Crumb and but I also, you know,
guy didn't care,
yeah, and it worked for him, and he was also, you know, it's like brilliant artwork, and he was like right time and right place, you know, this sort of like counterculture stuff. But I also can't just, like, say, make comics just that are completely pedestrian, you know, like, oh, today I went for a ride and oh, it was cold and stuff. Like, I think sometimes those things are okay, but other times it's like, okay, like, what's inside me at the moment, and that I feel is important, like, that I want to talk about, and then try and get that out, you know, in six panels or less.
Well, that's why I like your what you choose to focus on. It's as I said, it has that element of surprise. It has that it's curated. It's curated through, you know, you're experiencing your everyday life, and yet you've picked out something that is worth doing a comic about that day. And that's, yeah, I can really see like the structure of a great practice there, like, and just you've honed your mind. And like when you read one of your comics, which will be, you know, showing a bunch that you're happy to share, like while we've been having this convo, and, you know, people will be able to see that there's, you know, by doing this and having the practice of it, you've honed a perspective, a view, you know, like probably if I did see, I could tell your visual style, but I could probably also tell, like if someone told me about a comic, I could probably go, oh, that sounds like Dan.
Yeah, right.
Like it was like one of these five is Dan. I reckon, yeah, I could pick it. Okay. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I also like have this thought that like, oh man, what if I just run out of ideas, you know? But yeah, like I think when you just say it's a diary comic, it's just whatever's happened that day, it takes the pressure off. So
yeah.
And then
if you ran out of ideas and just started doing the same thing over and over, like someone tragic like Scorsese, like that would be such a disaster. Like I would feel so bad for you if you went the way of Scorsese to just keep doing the same idea again and again. That'd be a real tragedy for your career to wind up like Scorsese.
You think Scorsese? Irishman, I didn't enjoy that. Anyway, but...
I did not enjoy it. Yeah. I liked it when he was repeating himself with the gangster films.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it will happen, but, you know, like I just started, like I said, this practice just to like, because I wasn't drawing, actually. And I really think that...
After you moved?
Oh, just more recently, you know, like I was just like, I was only drawing on this tablet as well, my iPad. And then I was like, oh man, I miss drawing on paper. So, but I really think that, you know, I'm just writing a book chapter actually at the moment. It's about to finish it off. And it's about like that I think that diary comics are really like beneficial for people to do, like, and anyone can do them, you know, like just use stick figures and stuff. But it comes back to, I think, what I was saying about like this power of like distilling sort of things and emotions and memories into images. So like it's good for me, and you don't have to put them online, you know, you can just do them. But yeah, it's a good little practice. And so like think more people could like try it, you know, at least, because everyone's got interesting stuff going on in their lives, and a lot of us don't even, you know, we don't probably like have a diary even at all, you know. So
Well, we were having a laugh about like podcasting, like you had your, can you tell the audience your joke about the couple and the date or whatever?
All right, well, it's we can show the image, we'll be showing the image right now, but so the cartoon is like a man and woman, and they're in bed or something, like it's like an intimate moment, and she says, oh, say it to me again, darling, say it. And he says, like, I will never start a podcast. And she's like, oh. So, yeah.
But I think the reason I mention that is I think it's great to just have an outlet or a form, something you're comfortable with, a way of, like, noticing your own life as it goes by, like a way of reaching out and connecting with someone else. Like, you know, there's so many different ways to do it. And yeah, I think it's a good thing to do. Like, you don't even need an audience. I think it's good to work on your own expression and just have a practice that you do. Yeah. I think that's fantastic. Fantastic stuff. And then learning not to, you know, it doesn't come easily to me, but learning not to be self-conscious about judging what I've produced. That's key. Yeah. I mean, that's like a path, that's a torture path to hell. Like it's way better not to do that, but it's like the kind of thing that you want to be able to analyze and make good decisions based on analyzing where you're at. But like, for example, I don't shoot video because I'm not good enough yet. So I like podcasting. That's my happy spot. So that took some analysis to be like, yep, that's not good enough. This other stuff is good enough. This other stuff works really well. But I think it's great for everyone to have a practice, especially when like modern life, cost of living, you know, economy pressures, like there's a lot of pressure to the way we live. And yeah, another great thing that comes out of your research is just like the therapeutic element of doing drawing and what it does to your brain and stuff.
Well, you a couple of years ago, you helped me with this paper for a journal that I wrote. It was about this topic. Yeah. You really saved me on the introduction there. it was about that. Like, because I taught at university for so many years, and I had a few students who like they would go through like, you know, 3 years, and even students that like led a team in the final year in animation it was, and they led a team, they created a short film, all this stuff, and then at the end they're like, I'm flat, you know, I'm completely tapped out. I've got no more creativity. And I think it was like this constant, like, because we had, you know, every week or something, there's like reviews and critical feedback and stuff. And yeah, and I think a lot of people have that. It's just like, it becomes so arresting and completely like, you know, like they can't just be free anymore because they're always like judging themselves too harshly. And I think, like, of course, you know, there's a place for, sort of critical assessment of the work, but I think that comes after, you know, like you've made the thing and then you have a look at it, you go, okay, what could I do better? And then do it, like try and implement that for the next thing. But if you're doing that, like, if you're like, it's like, if you're trying to have a conversation and then you're just like thinking at the same time, oh, am I sounding stupid? You know, you'll just,
oh, you
will sound, yeah, like it's like that. So you have to just go, okay, while I'm making this thing, I'm just going to like let it flow. And then and then at the end, you can have a look and go, okay, this could be better, all that better. But, you know, don't beat yourself up, you know, like, and go, okay, like next time I get like a bit better or try something different. So
that's right.
I actually like that a lot. Just quickly, like working on paper is really liberating because you go, okay, you know, God, I put too much ink down there, you know, but it's there now. So got to live with it. You can't, you know, like that's a nice thing. Like digital, you just go back or you erase it, but with paper, you're stuck with it. And then you go, okay, like I have to live with that. Now it's how it is.
I always make too many marks. I'm never as minimalist as I want to be.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think that's not a bad
thing. I saturate the image a bit too much. But with my writing, like when I'm drafting, I'm not editing. Like editing, I'll sit down and be like, I'm editing now. But I won't edit while I draft. Otherwise, I'll rewrite the same piece of paper, you know, same 500 words again and again.
Mm. So you got like two separate stages, like that you break it down.
Almost. And it's funny, like they're just like, it's just in terms of habit, in writing habit and practice. But actually, it's sort of developed into like, they're like two different people. They're two different Lukes who just have different ideas about writing. Like one has the ideas that he needs to create and get happening and is like overly optimistic and is a bit of like harnessing a bit of bimbo energy. And then the editor is like a lot more of like a, you know, grizzled furrowed brow person. It really does feel like two different people. And the person who drafts isn't me in my day-to-day life either.
Yeah, right.
So it really has like hardened into these personas. But I find separating those things out. And then the third one is actually just switching off, like knowing I've got to a certain point and actually switching off and doing something else because letting the brain refresh and reset, that being an important part of creating too.
That's so interesting because I just have this like this. I think that's a comic actually. Like the bimbo Luke and the grizzled Luke. That's gonna be a diary comic maybe. But
it's I feel like if any of my exes listening to that would be like, yes, I've met them.
yeah. But because I like when I'm editing, I can't help also writing. And it's like the they get sort of mixed together almost. Like I can't just sort of edit and cut stuff out. I'm like, oh, and then I have to write something here. And then, so it's like happening kind of together there with writing for me. Maybe that's why I'm not so good at writing.
But, you know, cartoons, like there's writing in cartoons, right? There's a place for text in the visual image.
Yeah.
There's important storytelling.
There's a Australian cartoonist I think is awesome. His name's Pat Grant. And he just thinks of drawing as another form of writing. And you know, if you're into semiotics and stuff, you might find parallels there. But yeah, he calls drawing like if another form of scribing or something. He goes like, yeah, it's another form of script.
Pat Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's great to know. Well, Pat Grant sounds to me like the name of someone who should be on like a Nutri-Grain commercial or something.
Yeah, right. Like, it sounds like a tennis player.
I'm drawing, but I'm actually writing. Crunch, crunch.
Yeah.
You got to get nice. Crash zoom to his face.
Yeah, his he did like this really cool comic about his dad, like this relationship with his dad. And then halfway through drawing the comic, his dad passed away, and it became this sort of like dealing with that. It was, oh man, you could see as well, like the, just like the emotion on the page and his line work and stuff. Man. Yeah, it was really good.
Oh, there's a topic I'll never cover. There's no way. There's no way I would just be like, here's my comic thoughts on my relationship with my father. Like, there's no fucking chance.
I'm actually waiting for my, when my parents pass away, I can start making some comics about that. But
yeah, I mean, that's I'm like, not writing about my family.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, like, you have to be careful, because like when you're talking about real life, people can go, hey, that's me. And so there are like that consideration to think about a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when you're doing, I mean, that's a good thing about your daily reflections as well. They're they are about your life, but that's not you. It's the transitory connection with the world, things you're seeing, things you're observing. It's not like your deep, dark memoir. Like, today I sat in my lounge room in the dark for 6 hours and thought about when I was 11. Like, it's not a, you know, it's, you're saying things about yourself, but it's,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's appealing. It's the transitory stuff. It's the quotidian elements that everyone can identify with.
Yeah. I think I wrote a title for the, because I just started a new book for that, and then I wrote a title in the book and I called it Thinking Through Inking. And that's basically what it is. I'm going to have a little little rhymey rhyme. But yeah.
Oh, please. That made me so happy.
Yeah.
That had the German, what's the German word again?
Einfach. Easy.
Einfach. Yeah, yeah, I felt einfucked in that moment because of the just the simple beauty of the rhyming title.
Yeah, in German that would be like denken durch zeichnen, which is not quite as schnappy, but it's also kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, well, isn't that amazing? Like when you put it into German, it's all of a sudden a lot less snappy.
Yeah, yeah, you would have thought.
Oh, these 17 syllables, they really don't go together as well as the 3 syllables in English. Oh, man, this has been amazing to go over this stuff. What's one thing that you want listeners to take away from this pod?
I mean, you know, like for me, drawing has been such a key part of like who I am and how I understand the world and how I relax and my identity. So like, I mean, I would love more people to just have a go with drawing and like, you know, just see what happens. And can you sort of like sit down for, you know, some minutes and just like do some automatic drawing or, you know, and whatever. It's not going to change the world, but it might just give you a little bit of more patience and more ability to sit with something that's like not comfortable, or, you know, like open yourself to going, okay, I didn't think I could draw, but maybe I can. So like, what else, you know, do I think that I can't, that maybe I can? And good fun. Yeah. Tell your story through images. There's a lot to get from that. Yeah.
It's a different part of the brain than what life demands from us day in, day out, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. Sing, dance, draw, make love, go into nature, be good to your mother, all that stuff. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And it's been awesome. And I would really like to do this again. And whenever you've got more of your filmed drawings, those stop frame, is a stop frame, right? It's not just going,
it's
very
just
slowly.
Time lapse. Yeah, time lapse.
This is time lapse.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah. Yeah, sure, man. Love to.
Good one. Thank you, man. That's so good.
Yeah, mate. Pleasure to chat. Yo. Thank you, dude.
All right. Take care, everyone. Subscribe, like it, share with your friends. Don't call the cops. And I'll see you for the next one. Bye bye. So that was our first half-hour chat with Dr. Darren Fisher. Thank you, Daz. And now this is the end of the audio podcast. And if you like what you heard, please jump over to the YouTube channel, Shameless Animals, and you can watch this with a bunch of graphics of Darren's work, or you can come in half an hour into the video and you'll get to enjoy the breakdown of talking about Darren's drawings and what he's trying to do. And, you know, it was a good little chat. Went to some very interesting places. We're sort of analyzing art and talking about art and life and friendship and
how to engage with the world and how to sort of cultivate a good practice within ourselves. So there's a lot there that could apply to your own practice that's not about drawing too. It's good stuff. Enjoy it. And we'll check back in with a new episode in not so long. Take care. Thanks very much for staying with us at Shameless Animals. Allow me to reintroduce myself.